Nitzachim Perek Hey Mishnah Ches 5:8. We're continuing to discuss the process of what happened on the 14th of Nisan as part of the offering of the Korban Pesach, and the Mishnah continues on by saying Kamaseo Bechol, Kach Maseo B'Shabbos. Everything we described up to now in terms of the three groups and the sort of, you know, the production line and so on, of all that happened the same on the 14th of Nisan, whether we're talking about a regular weekday or on Shabbos. The reason for that is because the pasuk says, "V'yasu v'nei Yisrael es haPesach b'mo'ado." The Jews will make their offer the Korban Pesach on in its proper time, in its moed, in its appointed time. And there's the gezeirah shava to the Korban HaTamid, which says, "Tishmru l'hakriv lo b'mo'ado." You should be careful to make sure it's offered in its appointed time. In the same way that the Korban Tamid is doche, it supersedes the obligations for otherwise applicable to Shabbos. So we understand so too for the Korban Pesach, that even if it comes out on a Shabbos, their dates should be brought, meaning the 14th of Nisan, again, that supersedes the halachas of Shabbos. So, as we said already numerous times, we're treating this as like a Korban Sibur with special halachas. Now, the truth is that we will discuss in the next perek that certain things that they would do on a weekday, they wouldn't do on a Shabbos. More on that in the next perek. But for now, the point is that everything that they did so far, as described in the Mishnah up to now, was done the same, whether it was a weekday or Shabbos. Ela shekohanim madichin es ha'azara shelo keratan chachamim. However, even though everything was done the exact same way, the chacham had a certain objection to one of the things. That is the way they cleaned the floors on the 14th. Meaning, the Chachamim went and did the exact same thing in terms of the floor cleaning procedure, whether it was a Shabbos or otherwise, but the Chacham would have preferred that they did not, that they did not want them to actually clean the floors in the same way. The backstory here is this. Cleaning floors on Shabbos is restricted midirabbanan. I'm leaving out the halacha lamais of today's floors, but in general, the idea is that I'll even get to that in a minute, frankly. In the time of Chazal, most floors were made out of just dirt, smooth dirt. And as we learn back in Masechet Shabbos, if one would have, let's say, a divot, a hole, a crevice, a rut in the floor of his home, and he would smooth that out, that would be considered to be bona midoraisa. If you recall, when it comes to bona construction, there is no shear, there's no minimum amount. If you make even just a little hole filled in, if that's permanent to a structure that's attached to the ground, that's bona. So here, if you had a divot in the floor of your home and you filled it in, smoothing that hole in the ground would be bona midoraisa. So therefore, Chazal said no sweeping floors in Shabbos in general. The reason why is because people might come to smooth out a hole because holes were common to appear and it was sort of a thing that could happen very easily. And therefore, mishava gumos, filling in holes and smoothing them out, is a concern that props up the isser of cleaning the floors lest you come through that midirabanan, shows up many times throughout Shas. Here in the base of Mikdash, the floor is tiled. It's a marble floor, and therefore there shouldn't be the issue of shivui gumos, of smoothing out holes, because there are not holes supposed to be appearing or easily smoothed out by cleaning tiled, you know, marble floors. However, there still will be an isser derabanan in the base of Mikdash, either because there isser derabanan of sweeping the floors applies across the board, even to tiled floors. We certainly don't conduct so that way. Or alternatively, there were some segments that perhaps were not tiled, and there was a place where there could be some ground smoothed where it was untiled. Whatever the case, that would make it isser midirabanan to clean the floors, you know, sweep the floors, etc., in the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos. Now, there is a general rule, which is Ein Shfus B'Mikdash. When you're talking about Isurei D'Rabbanan to protect the integrity of Shabbos, those things don't apply in the Beis Mikdash. And while that's true, and everyone agrees that principle of Ein Shfus B'Mikdash, there's a machlokus, and that machlokus is being reflected in this segment of the Mishnah, of if that rule of Ein Shfus B'Mikdash, the leniency allowing you to do the Isurei D'Rabbanan on Shabbos in the Beis Mikdash, applies across the board, or whether it only applies to things that are essential to what must be done in the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos. If you understand that rule applies across the board and there's no Ein Shfus B'Mikdash in general, there'd be no issue of sweeping the floors and cleaning them on Shabbos in general. And that being the case, as the Chacham and our Mishnah did, they clean the floors. As far as the Chacham reference in our Mishnah go anyways, they understood that Ein Shvus Mikdash only applies where it's something that would otherwise, where it's a relevant to an act which is essential to what must happen in the Beis Mikdash on Shabbos. And cleaning the floors is certainly not essential to the proper function of the Beis Mikdash, the bringing the Korban Pesach, etc. And therefore, according to these Chachamim in this Mishnah, it simply wouldn't apply. Okay, the Rambam Baskins that one could sweep the floors, the Ein Shvus Mikdash is a general rule, and therefore, like, I'll call it like the Kohanim, if you will, of the Mishnah. Now, how do they clean those floors? So, although you don't see the pictures very often, there was part of the infrastructure of the Beis Hamikdash was there was a irrigation canal, a small like running water that went through the Azara. It was like a water flowing, so they could have water to do what they had to do over there. And if they wanted to clean the floors, they would block up the far side of that canal, which would cause the canal to flood, filling up the floor of the Mikdash, of the Azara, with water. Then kind of like how Israelis do sponja, they would scrub the floors clean because it would be sort of, you know, it would be sort of deeper in water, and you could flush out all the blood. Don't forget, we're talking about many, many hundreds or thousands of korbanos, each of them, you know, putting a good amount of blood on the floor, so there was a lot of blood to clean up. So that's the story over here. Again, let me read it in the words because it doesn't read quite as neatly as I described it. It just reads, Kamaseo b'chol kach maseo b'shabbos. Their acts, as we described up to now, as they did it on a weekday, would be the same as they did it on a Shabbos. Ela, however, shekohanim madichin esa adzara shlo karatzun chamim. The rabbis even cleaned the floors as they would in a weekday, but that was not in accordance with the will of the chacham, who would rather them not clean those floors on Shabbos. Okay, now the Mishnah goes on to a new point. The floor was covered in blood. Now, that blood basically comprised two different types of blood. One called dam ha-nefesh and one called dam ha-tamtzis. I'll explain. When you bring a korban, so the essential moment of the offering of any offering, animal sacrifice, is that its blood make its way to the mizbeach, that the zrika, application of blood on the altar, one way or another. Now, the blood we're talking about that must be offered is called dam ha-nefesh, life blood. What that means is, when an animal is slaughtered and it's shechted, so the veins are cut, the arteries are cut, and as the heart pumps the next time in the animal, so out of the arteries will come blood. Blood will spurt out of the artery. And while the animal is essentially still alive, just having had its neck cut. So that blood is called dam ha-nefesh, life blood, if you will, and some part of the life of the animal, the nefesh, is in that blood. And that's the blood that has to be caught into the kli sharis, the sanctified utensil, we'll call it a bezich, as our Mishnah called it, the cup on a stick, and brought down to the mizbeach and offered on the altar, or on the side of the altar above the yisod. Now, after a few moments, the heart stops beating. And at that point, there's no more blood spurting out from any arteries. And at that point, the blood that remains dripping out is called dam hatamtsis, which means something like oozing blood, seeping blood. Okay? The animals are probably being laid on their side as they're being shechted. So you've got essentially after the first moments when you catch the dam hanefesh, the rest of the blood begins to, you know, ooze out of the now dead animal onto the floor as dam hatamtsis. Dam hatamtsis is not effective as blood that's brought in the mizbeach. That is to say, if you take dam hatamtsis and put it in the mizbeach, while not usher to do that per se, it doesn't help you have an effective korban. Fine. So, on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, the overwhelming majority of the blood is going to be dam hatamtsis, useless blood. But there's a concern Rabbi Yehuda has in our Mishnah here that perhaps one of the korbanos whose blood was caught correctly as dam ha-nefesh into a kli sharis, into one of those utensils, was accidentally spilt on the floor after having been caught, and therefore that blood is at least in theory eligible to be applied onto the Mizbeach wall. And if it's not applied, so then that particular Korban Pesach was not offered. It's not a kosher Korban Pesach. So Rabbi Yehuda understands there is a way still, and as a sort of a safeguard, as sort of a catch-all, what we should do is we should collect the blood, the pool of blood on the floor, into a kli sharis. Within that blood that's collected, that mixture of blood, there would be at least a few molecules of the original blood that came as dama nefesh, as kosher blood, which was accidentally spilled on the floor and never made it to the mizbeach. And that could be brought on the wall of the mizbeach, and therefore, like, at least retroact now kosherize that offering. That is, that notion that should work is based on a few assumptions. The first, some of them are contentious, and as far as the shittas and the tanaim. The first is that there's the principle of yesh bila, that there's such a thing as when it comes to balach, when it comes to liquids like blood, that if you took the blood off the floor, you can assume that at least in a prorated way, some portion of whatever blood you pick up off the floor contains blood that was dropped on the floor. In other words, of course, you might think that since there were 1,000 korbanos brought and only one of them was from this particular animal, maybe who says that the blood you're picking up now off the floor contains any of the blood that was from that one particular animal we were concerned with? The answer is, if you rule yesh bila balach, we say yes, it is prorated, and if it's liquid, it does commingle, and therefore you've got some of the blood you want. The second thing it's built on is the assumption that there is absolutely no shear to how much blood must go on the mizbeach to be successful in kosherizing the animal and the offering. So we assume that that's the case here, meaning that there's no minimum amount. As long as one drop of blood makes it, that's effective. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, go ahead and pick up all the blood off the floor into a sample of all the blood on the floor into a single kli sharis and offer that on the mizbeach, and that will then kosherize. Now, the rabbis don't agree to that idea. And the reason why is because on this point, unlike the yesh bila point, and unlike the ein shir point, rabbis and Rabbi Yehuda have a disagreement regarding the halachas of bittel, of annulment. Now, the rule is when it comes to a tarovis, a mixture, when you talk about mixtures, and mixtures come in two varieties. One variety is called min b'she'eno mino, which means one type of, let's say, forbidden object, whatever it is, that is mixed in with a different type of permitted. That's not the point. I'm sorry. I said that badly. One halachic category is mixed in with another halachic category of a different type. Min, one type. B'she'eno mino, into a different type. So that's the not kosher pig blood dropping into your chicken soup. Okay? Fine. You got chicken soup, you got pig blood, and if we say there's enough chicken soup, and we'll make the pig blood considered to have lost the status, it's mixed up in the chicken soup and it's gone. There's no more pig blood around. Okay? There's a second kind of mixture called min bimino, which means a type within its own type. So if you have blood and blood from sheep, just some blood has the halachic status of dam hanefesh, and some blood has the halachic status of dam hatamtzis, they really are just blood and blood. The question is, in a min bimino mixture, when you have blood with other blood, can you have bittel? Now, what is bittel? Bittel is the halachic phenomenon, an important one, where if you have a mixture of two different, items with different halachic statuses, and they mix together. So the general rule is that if you have a mixture of two different things as a mixture, however that's defined, for now I'm not going to discuss it, so then the status of the mixture is determined by the majority. Acher rab lahatos, we consider it like the majority, and the rule is that the minority constituent of the mixture loses its identity in the face of the majority, which is why when we say a bit of pig blood, let's say, drops in the chicken soup, we say the minority pig blood has lost the status. There's no pig blood here anymore. It's all just chicken soup, and it's totally kosher to eat. That's the notion of bittel. So, losing its status, annulment. Losing the minority, losing its status, and the mixture relative to the majority. So Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum disagree on whether you can have bittel in a min b'mino mixture. Meaning, if you have blood mixing with more blood, can you say that the dam, in this case, the minority, which is the dam ha-nefesh, does it lose identity in the context of the greater majority of dam ha-tamsis, or no? The Chacham say yes, there is bittel in a min b'mino mixture. So they say, listen, it's mostly dam tamsis, therefore there is no dam ha-nefesh here, there's no legal dam ha-nefesh here. And if you take essentially even all the blood, if you will, off the floor and apply it to the side of the Mizbeach, it wouldn't help because none of that blood has a lachic status of dam ha-tamsis anymore, the same way none of the chicken soup has a lachic status of pig blood if some pig blood dropped in, for argument's sake. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no such thing as bittel if you're talking about a mixture that's a min b'mino. It's as if, you know, there's a sort of strength in numbers that the you can't say, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the dam ha-nefesh lost identity in the dam ha-tamsis because the whole mixture is blood. It's like just blood and more blood. So where did the supposed bittel, where did the annulment, where did the disappearance of the blood go? The blood that's a dam ha-nefesh can't get lost. It's being reinforced by more blood. So there's still dam ha-nefesh present. So that machlokas is far-reaching, and there are many mixtures outside the context of blood and blood that are min b'mino mixtures. We had it not long ago. Actually, in truth is, when we talked in Maseches Trumos, if you learn Trumos, we talked about the Trumos Meiser falling back in, and we said you need 100 times against. That would be true for a min b'mino mixture, but a min b'sheino mixture, you would just need 60 times for tam, etc. In any case, putting that aside, since Rabbi Yehuda holds that min b'mino mixtures can't affect bittel, therefore he says as long as you have, if you would have even one bit of the dam ha-nefesh blood mixed in here, you could take a sample from the floor, and because yesh bila and because ein shir, to the minimum amount of blood to be applied, you can apply it to the wall of the mizbech effectively, and it'll be useful. But the Chacham say even if you hold yesh bila and every cup has in theory some of the liquid that spilt from the original dam ha-nefesh, and even if you hold that there's no minimum amount, that's all fine. They're with you on that. So the Chum work with Rabbi Yehuda on that. Still, since they hold there is bittel in a min b'mino mixture, they say there is no more dam ha-nefesh, halachically speaking, present anymore on the floor. It's all gone. It's been annulled, mevutal, in the majority, and therefore there's no dam ha-nefesh left, and therefore even applying all the blood from the floor onto the Mizbeach would do nothing to satisfy the requirements if indeed one of the Korban Pesach's blood never made it to the Mizbeach. Okay, that's the machlokas here. A lot of words I just said. The Mishnah says very few words. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda said, Kos haya memale midam hatarovis. They would take one cup. This is a klisharis, meaning a sanctified utensil from the base of Mikdash. They would fill it up with blood of the mixture of blood on the floor. Zerako zrika achas al gab mezbeach. And they would do one blood application onto the wall of the Mizbeach. Again, remember, below the red line, the Chut HaSikra, above the Yesod, on that north or west sides, or even the corners that are around a bit. And nevertheless, v'lo hodu lo chacham, the rabbis disagreed. They said, that's not going to help, and therefore we're not going to do it. And there's no such practice of picking up the blood off the floor and applying that mixed of blood on the Mizbeach. Halach, of course, being like the Chachamim.